The epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Sunday after Pentecost, which corresponds to the Sunday within the octave of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren all over the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, after we have suffered a little while, perfect, strengthen, and establish us. To him is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the publicans and sinners were drawing near to him to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But he spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And on coming home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost.' I say to you that even so, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 just who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 drachmas, if she loses 1 drachma, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the drachma that I have lost.' Even so, I say to you, there will be joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the only thing that I need to point out to you in the bulletin today is that there will be no catechism class this morning. I would like to take this opportunity in my own name and in the name of all the fathers and the sisters to wish all of the fathers today a very happy and holy and peaceful Father's Day. After the sermon, we will have a little blessing ceremonies for the fathers. There are perhaps just all kinds of things that could be said about Father. And they all need to be said, because Father, if we look at Father correctly, is supposed to be a man of authority. And we have to look at authority for a moment. Uh, Authority presupposes responsibility. There are those who do not see it quite that way, but look rather at authority as power. Yes, the father in the house does have power. He should have power. And since he has the responsibility, he has to have the power needed, the right kind of power needed to be able to administer to the members of his family properly and sufficiently. Today, things being as they are, a very terrible thing has happened. And that terrible thing that has happened is that authority has been compromised. We do not wish to go through with authority, and we do not wish the burden of authority, therefore we throw it aside as if it were up to us to be able to do so. As a consequence, what do we find in family? We find in family chaos. No one respects anybody else in the family, much less the authority figure of the father. And each one goes his or her merry way. In a world that simply not only does not have any use for authority, but in a world that laughs at authority, with each one saying, "I am the one who determines what has to be. You can't tell me what to do." This is our world. And so when we speak of father and when we speak of mother, but when it's because the two share authority and responsibility and power, when we speak of father, it is urgent that we try to look at the image of this man in the family. And he may wonder sometimes, we may wonder, just what kind of a man the father of the family ought to be. I did not come prepared to read in the Holy Rule of Saint Benedict. It's the second chapter. Right away, he tells us of what kind of man the abbot ought to be in the community of his monks. And in this chapter, Saint Benedict touches all the points. There is nothing that has been left out. And one of the great points that Saint Benedict makes, and it goes not only throughout that entire chapter, but it weaves itself in and out of all the other chapters in the rule, and that is that the father, the abbot, must be loved rather than feared. And because it is of love that we have for the father of the house that we do what we do. It is not because we're afraid of him, but because we must love him. And that the father in the monastery, and this goes in the family, the father in the monastery holds the place of the abbot in the monastery, holds the place of Christ himself in the monastery. And whenever the abbot opens his mouth, granted, of course, that it is not for something evil, whenever the abbot opens his mouth in the monastery, the monk is trained, is taught to believe that it is the voice of God, as far as he is concerned, that he is hearing. The voice of the abbot is the voice of God. And so it goes right into the family directly. The same thing holds true. The voice of the Father in the family is the voice of God. Now go tell that to the people outside. If you want to get roarously laughed at. They don't comprehend it. But it doesn't matter that they don't comprehend it. And it isn't because I said so, or because St. Benedict said so, or because anybody said so. The voice of the Father is the voice of God, as far as we are concerned. And where does this come from? From Christ himself, from God himself. It goes all the way down to you and you and you and you and me. And we have to respect that. The problem is that the average one, wherever, does not know, perhaps doesn't care to know, where he must look to for guidance. How often have we in here, in this church, talked about the house of Nazareth? If we want to learn what is required of us as sons and daughters of God, we have to go to the house of Nazareth to find out how to do it. Can we imagine St. Joseph going about acting like so many of the men who today must be classified fathers? Can we imagine that? A man coming in, slamming the door, losing his temper, stomping his foot, cursing, swearing, and everything else that goes with this scenario. Can we imagine Saint Joseph in that kind of situation? And while we're talking about Saint Joseph, why do we have to neglect the Blessed Mother herself? Can we imagine? And we have all kinds of images of the Blessed Mother in our imagination and in our mind's eye. Have all kinds of images of the Blessed Mother. Can we imagine Mary going about demanding, acting, talking as the women of today in so many instances talk? I have been told, I can only be told of this, that in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the workshop. For example, a coffee break in the workshop. That the voice of the woman by far exceeds the voice of the man. And that what comes out of her mouth is by far worse than what comes out of the mouth of a man. And as it should be. You ever notice the more beautiful the flower, the more gorgeous the flower, the more spectacular the flower, the blossom, the more it stinks when it begins to go bad? Is this not true? So it is, we have the lily, Mary, the mother, woman, woman who has gone sour. Now, beloved people, it's serious. Then we go to the child Jesus. Good grief. Our young ones. Oh yes. We hear all kinds of things wonderful about the child Jesus. But young ones, can we imagine the child Jesus questioning Saint Joseph or his mother Mary, the way we question our mothers and fathers, the way we demand answers, the way we twist around and about our mothers and fathers as we're trying to wiggle out of them permissions, as we speak with half-truths, as we throw temper tantrums, and we stomp and wallow in our own disobedience, can we imagine Jesus Christ wallowing in half-truth, in self-will, in disobedience, pride, or whatever else? Can we imagine this beautiful boy, 5, 10, 12, 15, 20, 25, 30, and at 30, and 33, can we imagine him to have been something of what we are and what we think of ourselves in our gosh-awful importance? Here I am. And the trouble with Jesus, the trouble is that Jesus does not understand the problems that I am confronted with. Therefore, it is Jesus' fault, not mine. And things are not done as they should be done by me. That's where the problem is. So my beloved people, I know I sound terribly angry. I'm not, but I am. We want And we want all the things, and we want a peaceful life, and we want a happy life, and we want a successful life. Yes, that's legitimate. It's perfectly legitimate to want these things. But to what degree are we willing to do it the way Christ asked us to do it? Not only ask us, but the way Christ showed us to do it. We go back to that episode when Christ was 12 years old. And that was a pretty harrowing experience, you can be sure of that, for the mother and father, when their son had disappeared. And they had no way of knowing where he was. So they went to look after him. Finally, they found him. Yes, he did. There was a little twinge of talking back, but not anything, but just that he was reminding them, must I not be about my Father's business? And then what are the next words? And he went home with them. And he grew. And he grew in knowledge, and in grace, and beauty, and wonderment, and all the wonderful things that a young boy or a young girl must grow up doing and being and becoming. We have life on this earth, and it is terribly difficult. Even when everything goes right, it still remains very difficult. Because as in today's epistle even, in St. Peter, I'll read it so that I won't mess it up. Be sober. Be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Every night at Compline, that's the night prayer for the monks, right here, one of the brothers gets up in the middle of the choir, and every night he says this to us. He sings this to us as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We not only today have put aside the power of God, we've also put aside the power of Satan. He is not all powerful, that is true. But he certainly has an enormous amount of power. And he knows precisely how to go about devouring us, as he did so cleverly on that first day when he offered an apple to a woman. How cleverly. And the words that he presented to her, the most clever words ever spoken by those who have no love in their hearts. Yes, on Father's Day, we talk about authority. But the greatest part of this is not the authority that we should be worried about, as much as responsibility. Doesn't mean that the father has to be a dictator in the family. God rest and God deliver us from a dictator. At the same time, it doesn't mean that the father has to be a bowl of applesauce either, going around presenting a sticky, syrupy, honey-like type of existence in the family. How disgusting. The father has to be a man. A real man. Saint Joseph. I dare say. Which one of you burly men I don't say this in disrespect. Please, understand me. I say it because I'm one of the burly men myself. Okay? Let's put it this way. Which one of us burly men have got the guts to put up and to perform as a dumb carpenter put up and performed? And when somebody came to him, when he found out that his spouse was pregnant and that he had nothing to do with it, and he was told, the Holy Ghost did this. Which one of us gentlemen would believe that? It took strength that we do not know anything about. And what did Saint Joseph say? Nothing. And he said unto himself, I'm sure, so be it, I do believe. And when he was told later to get up in the middle of the night, right now, and take your family and get out of town now, what did Saint Joseph say? Nothing. You know, for having said nothing, Saint Joseph said more than all the books in all of our libraries put together have ever been able to put into print. This one man who said nothing. And yet, my beloved men, fathers, we must imitate him. Not only in outward doings, but in our inmost feelings. I know I'm over time and I really don't care. But it's the father. Yes, we said the mother. As the mother goes, the one who rocks the cradle rules the world. We know all about that. That's not another cliche, which today doesn't mean a row of pins. But it's in the hands of the father to do what he's supposed to be doing. And to look at that one figure, Joseph, do we act like Joseph? When we are in a crowd, and Saint Joseph certainly had to be in a crowd many times, and conversation undoubtedly got seemly, whatever the word is, I don't know. I'm off at the moment. Did our beloved one pitch a fit? Did he join in? What did he do? His action was so impolite. His action was so polite and so gentle and so beautiful. That he stood out in all of his purity, in all of his wonderment. He is the one that we must look to, men. And if we can't see our answer, if we can't find our answer in that one single human being, whose fault is it? And if we can't find our answer in that one single solitary human being before God and under God, as we answer to God, what kind of logic are we going to present God with as we look to him in the presence of Joseph? What kind of logic are we going to offer to God with Joseph bearing witness? And this it shall be, whether I like it or not, or whether you like it or not. That is that, my beloved people. So, my dear fathers, after this tirade, don't take it as a tirade. It's an effort at being frustrated. It's an effort to fight discouragement. As we look about our world that has crumbled before our very eyes, and that in reality that our young ones coming up, our little children, we're going to have a baptism today. What in the world do we have to offer this little baby? If that's not gripping, if that is not tragic, then please tell me, what is? If that is not serious, please tell me, what is serious? That's where we are. So, in spite of the sadness of it all, my beloved fathers, happy Father's Day. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Sounds crazy. But happy Father's Day. And go out and do what you're supposed to do. Let us all go out and do what we're supposed to do. Mothers, happy Mother's Day also, mothers. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But there we are. In a world full of hate, in a world that would kill for the blink of an eye, at least you, my friends, give unto God the things that are God's. If you don't, if we don't, who will? God bless you. Fathers, men, kneel. Please.